on this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Add strength. Might not be strong in the auction, but can you pump it up to get in?
I'm over it. Badge of dishonor. Google is testing a new badge on paid results.
Plus some shopping new developments for YouTube creators.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernhell.
AKA Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on April 12th, 2024.
And before we get into all of the digital marketing news of the week, we had a big event here.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, Rochester, New
Cosmic.
York. Cosmic event. Totality.
Mm-hmm.
We are right in the direct path of the total solar eclipse.
I haven't gotten your full story about how it went for you.
Okay.
But from my experience in the most Buffalo thing to ever happen, it was cloudy.
It was cloudy. It was cloudy in Rochester as well.
So all these people, we were getting all these news stories about stay off the roads. Don't go to work. It's going to be crazy out there. Get your groceries. Put gas in your car. And then there was no one anywhere.
I live on a busy road. It was astonishing how few cars were out on the road.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? There's nobody around.
I feel like everyone like landed in Buffalo and then drove to Lake Champlain or wherever.
Yes.
You know where National Geographic was and they didn't have any clouds. Oh, it was so beautiful. You had to be there. Really makes you think about your place in the world. I was like, I get it. Like, yeah. We missed it.
So I put the glasses on. I like went outside. There's nothing. It's pitch black. Like you couldn't see anything even when it was like in part eclipse or whatever. So we kind of scrapped our plans because there's nothing to like actually look at for a long time. We were going to go to this park and like play sports and all this stuff. And so instead we're like, this is going to suck. And we just went in the driveway and we were playing basketball, like waiting for totality to come. It was crazy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like street lights started turning on.
That's cool.
And you could like, you'd notice like all these like lights and everything. And then you could like visually see it getting so dark. You could see it getting darker. It was crazy.
It was weird.
And so then we're playing. You can't even see the basketball. And my kids were like, you got to make a 3-pointer in totality. And we're like, they're like shooting basketballs and you can't rebound anything. It was like actually awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Chad?
I wish we would have seen the sun, but it was really just like eerie when it just got so dark all at once. And you could tell my kids were really affected by it. Like
really?
My 3-year-old, she could explain to you up until it happened, like the sun is going to go, or the moon is going to go in front of the sun and it's going to get dark and then it's going to get light again. But then it happened and she was like upset. Like it's just unsettling. But
yeah.
Cool. Okay. It was very weird.
It was wild. And then it got so light again so fast. It was so crazy. It was like,
yeah, how quick was it? Was it like
it was definitely
sundown or faster?
It was definitely a once in a lifetime experience. Something that everybody here, like we got the absolute pleasure to
3 minutes.
And Jess, how was your solar eclipse?
So I wasn't here.
Wait, what?
I was not here. You know I was not here.
Wait, you weren't here?
I was not here. I went to the Rocky Mountains, Colorado. It was beautiful. We had 65% coverage or whatever you would call it. And it was beautifully sunny. We had to set an alarm so that we knew what time we were out hiking around this beautiful lake in the
snow.
So
you missed totality.
We missed totality, but we had our glasses. We knew what time it was coming and we were able to look up at the sun, but there was like no, you wouldn't know if you didn't know. There was no change in the amount of light out.
That doesn't sound very cool.
But it was cool to look at. It was like a reverse crescent moon.
Okay.
I thought it was neat. Listen, I booked this trip. I told you before, it was $1,000 more to come home a day earlier. I was not going to put my family through that and go through the madness to come home and have it be cloudy. I don't care. I regret nothing.
I've heard somebody call it a cosmic event before.
Yeah. It really makes you think about your place in the world.
Listen, the people we were staying with have a first grader, and he told me that when he's 24 in his hometown, they're going to have an eclipse with totality. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to visit him then because I'll still be alive.
There's going to be one in Disney World.
When?
In like the 2040s, but all the DVC contracts will be expired.
What's DVC?
Disney Vacation Club.
Are you in that?
Like the timeshare? No, but those people, they got to re-up if they want to be there for that.
And you could join just in time. We'll be alive in the 40s.
Yeah.
It's like 15 minutes from now.
God willing.
Are people going to care about Disney in the 40 years from now?
It's been like 100.
Do people care about Disney now?
Some do.
Some. Mm.
Before we begin the show, we have to talk about something that is not cool. And it's a mistake, an error. Hands up, my fault. We reported on a tweet, and I say we, I just said hands up, and I included the we. Did you see how I did that?
Well, I talked about it on the show.
Okay. It was a tweet that was retweeted by Adam DeFrisco from Darren Shaw, at Darren Shaw _ on X, because Darren Shaw was taken. And Darren had a tweet that said, "This new ad type in the local pack is disgusting. I can't believe they're allowing competitors to advertise right on top of your number one ranking. They're definitely trying to disguise this as an ad. Not cool, Google, not cool." And had a screenshot of something that said, "People also like Jones Criminal Law Group." And the ad label on this was very, very light. This also...
I shrieked.
Yes. This apparently was an April Fool's joke with no disclaimer.
Oh.
So I need to tell people, like, what a joke is. You don't say take something that is like 1% off of what Google is doing and make that a joke.
This is not funny.
This is not funny. And you don't say like, haha, April Fool's. Like, I made a joke.
He said, what's the date today?
In the original tweet that Adam DeFrisco retweeted?
No, okay. Darren Shaw responded.
And I didn't look at that one. I saw Adam DeFrisco. I trust Adam DeFrisco. I still trust Adam DeFrisco, but I do not trust Darren Shaw.
I don't trust April Fool's.
I am going to go out on a limb and say Darren Shaw
underscore
banned for life from Marketing the Clock. No more news story. He had a good news story too this week. Banned for life.
Oh man.
Oh, wow. Where are we going to get our news from?
We need a unanimous vote.
Did he respond to you?
I said it was an idiotic, not funny attempt. He didn't respond to that because he knows he's like, this isn't.
Yeah, it would have been funnier to do something. Oh, I just think April Fool's is like, I'm over it. Yeah. It's also my husband's birthday, and he has a really bad attitude about it.
Oh, this what a nice present for him.
I've got a chip on my shoulder.
But like, just be like everybody else and be like, oh, guess what? I signed a contract with Google. I'm going to be a Googler. And like, that's what everybody does. Either. And it's funny unless it's like Ginny Marvin, Danny Sullivan, Daniel Wassenberg, Adam Singer, Chris Sidon, like,
they all did that?
Well, I mean, they're all Googlers.
Not a joke.
Ish. Yeah. So anyway, I apologize for the misreporting. And Darren Shaw, lifetime ban. Do you support this?
I don't know.
I need your support, Shaw.
I don't know, Darren.
I feel like a lifetime ban is a joke. Strong. That's a strong word or strong stance. Lifetime
okay,
ban?
Okay, well, you dole out the punishment then, bud.
All right. I don't know. Just stop. No more tweeting on April 1st for you, Darren.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's a bad joke. It's not funny. Was anyone hurt?
Contact Darren. If you can get that in writing that he won't tweet on April 1st, I will accept that over the lifetime ban. Until then, the lifetime ban stands.
Fine. I'm not contacting you, Darren. Sorry. The eclipse may be over, but get your shades back out, people, because the future of shopping on YouTube has never been brighter. Well, I don't want to leave people in the dark about this update from YouTube.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to continue. And I'm going to get through the totality of the thing here. Okay. So there are some updates from the video platform. First and foremost, they are introducing what they're calling shopping collections. It's a new way for creators to curate products from their favorite brands or even their own line. That's the marketing speak, but in plain language, it is a curated virtual store. Essentially, collections will appear in a creator's product list, store tab, and video description. And right now, you can make them using the Studio mobile app with desktop functionality coming soon. On top of that, they also announced a couple other updates. YouTube is launching a new affiliate hub that is directly in the YouTube app to make it easier for creators to connect with partners, look at competitive commission rates, things like that. They're also expanding the ability to bulk tag products across videos to all shopping creators. Apparently, this was only available to some before. And then if you are a user of Fourth Wall for your shop, if that's where you run it, you'll be happy to know it is being added to the list of platforms that directly integrate with YouTube Studio going forward. So some great things for creators in the shopping community just in time for spring a big fashion season. The article made it sound that way, but I don't know if they were just looking for spin.
Spring, summer, that's when She by Sheree comes out.
There you go.
All right. When we get shopping collections, we should do that. I'm going to have the old
marketing
man
a clock?
Plaid dad collection. Mm. You can have the chic. Well, you went to like an actual fashion college.
I studied fashion merchandising
with Rod Stewart, I believe. He was in your
he was in the program.
Not at the school. I had a summer internship and lived with these actresses in Hell's Kitchen, and he lived in the penthouse apartment.
But he's fashionable, so I feel like you probably like obtained a bunch of just good fashion sense from
him. I mean,
him.
Look at that shirt. You look amazing today.
Whatever.
Fashion.
Mostly I wish that I could fit into the clothes that I buy for my daughters. That's my taste.
Okay. And then Jess's fashion would just be black?
Yeah. Just goth
but not
lady.
The eclipse.
But not the eclipse.
Yep. And I'll have a little plaid dad section. A report from the Financial Times, according to Barry Schwartz over at Search Engine Roundtable, a subscription is required to see the full thing, says that Google is considering charging for some of its AI-related search features, such as the Search Generative Experience, or SGE, and AI Overviews. This is likely because the cost to serve AI search results and because the SGE interface would severely impact ad revenue, according to Barry. I would pay to not get SGE. I pay to have it removed. Who's going to pay to get SGE?
Not in its current state, that's for sure.
I actually did see a note because we use like Workspace or whatever they keep changing it to try AI generated like overviews and communication. And it's like, here, try this out. So I hit try. And there, it's like, if you do this, you get a few weeks or something. And then it's like an extra $500 a month. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Mm-mm.
So my thought was, maybe it's that where you can say, give me an AI generated review of this Google Slides document, or do something with AI with this normal document and condense it into a tweet or something. Like, I would understand that, but not SGE. Who would want that? So according to Barry, the report says Google is working on the biggest shakeup of its search business by charging for new premium features powered by generative artificial intelligence, the first time that it would put any of its core product behind paywall. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't use SGE when it shows up. I don't like the results of it. I don't like that the products don't match the actual responses of SGE. And I just don't understand who would pay for it.
Pay for a worse experience.
It's like people who pay for Facebook. No.
Who would?
They're goofballs out there. Because
they don't want ads?
Yeah, no ads. Yeah. But for SGE, it's like, it's not like good results. Mm-hmm. I pay for, if you gave me SGE and like, would you pay for Google search? I'd be like, yes, I pay for Google search.
Oh,
if
you want the reverse. Yeah.
The switcheroo.
You mm-hmm. should not give them that idea.
Also that.
True facts.
Maybe that story was an April Fool's joke. Did we check the date? It would be nice. I don't think so. Next up here, we have a new state of PPC report from ppcsurvey.com. This is a global report for 2024, and they talk to people on both the agency and in-house side and teams of all sizes from all over the world. So
very reputable source, by the way.
ppcsurvey.com.
Yeah, you should take what they say at face value.
Why?
They usually make very good recommendations.
Oh yes. Of people to follow?
In general. Okay. Just their information is great.
So this is a really fun read. I spent like an hour in here just devouring it. I recommend everyone read it if you're in PPC. We're going to go through some parts that I found the most interesting, but you should check it out. I thought it was cool to see how answers differed between agency and in-house people and by geographic region from people all over the world. Definitely read it. So first thing that I want to talk about is the spend by platform section. So it says over 50% of global advertising spend goes to the five major tech firms. So that's Alphabet, Meta, Amazon, Alibaba, and ByteDance. And then it says what may surprise the paid search readers of this report is that social media ad spend is expected to equal paid search spend by the end of 2024. If this trend continues, it will surpass paid search in 2025.
I mean, it makes sense. There's more sources to mm-hmm. spend on. Like you have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Reddit, like there's more places than just like Google 1A and like 4B is like Microsoft.
Yeah. But also Google's getting more and more expensive. I don't know. I was surprised. If you told me 2030, maybe 2025, I was like, wow.
I don't think that's right. but who we'll knows?
See. The next.
Also, do they count YouTube as that or no?
No.
Because I totally get it if that's the case.
I'd have to read it closer. And the rest of it, they keep YouTube separate. So I would think separate.
Okay.
Okay. Next juicy part is the difficulty of PPC management. So they asked, is managing PPC campaigns harder or easier than it was 2 years ago? And it's kind of nuanced how they break the answers down, but 16% of people said it was easier.
What are these 16% of people?
I don't know what planet they're living
on. I want to seriously like investigate their accounts because I guarantee their performance sucks.
Yeah. And then 49% said it was harder and 35% said it was about the same.
But wait. What about generative AI?
So that's the thing. People who did say it was easier, the main reason was generative AI.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then people who said it was harder, the main reasons were because of decreased insights and control.
Oh my gosh. I hope more people go do generative AI, think things are so easy, and just we can eat their lunch.
Yeah.
Then it gets easier for us.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Right?
Do you want to skip ahead to the generative AI part here?
No, not really.
Okay. It's coming. Next juicy part, change in the level of trust in the ad platforms. So LinkedIn was really the only one that is kind of looking positive for this. 61% said they had about the same level of trust and 22% said they had more trust. But from there, it's just not looking good for everyone else. Google particularly, 54% said they had considerably lower or significantly lower trust. And then Twitter had, or X had 51% on the negative side and Meta had 42%. So people are not trusting these platforms.
Shep, do you know how bad you have to be to have less trust than Twitter X? That is maybe the chart of the year nominee. This is... You have to be so low.
That Google Ads, yeah.
To be less, have less trust than you did before, than Twitter.
But I'm not surprised.
I'm not either.
I don't really use Twitter, but I would say I trust it more than Google Ads. Just the communication.
I'm
going to
get canceled, but I think so too.
Yeah. The communication, they're never telling us what's really happening and they try to lie all the time. Like, I don't trust those guys. Sorry.
That is absolutely bananas that it's higher levels of distrust than Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And again, wow. I just want to know who the 16% were who said they trust Google Ads more now than they did.
I hope they're competing against me.
I have concerns.
They misunderstood the question.
No, they're just bad advertisers. They don't listen to the show.
Then they get into more specifics on Google Ads. So the respondents were asked whether they trust or whether they use certain Google Ads features. Can you guys guess the top two features for targeting options and campaign types that people are using the most?
That people are using the most?
Keywords and audiences.
You're not thinking of it the right way.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. But I don't know how to say it without giving it away.
Okay.
Targeting options and campaign types.
So it's keyword based stuff.
Yeah.
I just cheated and left.
Oh. Wait, so no, I was going to say PMax. Like everybody's just doing that.
No, that's what I feel like they want. Google would say, yeah. But the top two are still exact match and phrase match. The two most popular options were 75% people are still using exact match and 69% are using phrase match.
Got it.
They're not dead as much as Google wants them to be. Only 37% of people polled for this were using broad match often or always. 50% are still using DSAs. Those are just not working for me anymore. So
neither.
That surprised me. Only 41% use PMax with a product feed, and then it's even lower without a product feed, 32%. Again, I feel like that is not what Google would want to say.
No. They're like, do you even want to do matching, or should everything be broad match?
Yeah.
You get from I'm not going to go back and make something up, but remember that last week there was a one-day period they referenced where it worked better.
Yeah. Okay, bid strategies. Let's try to do the poll again. What do you think are the top few bid strategies by how often they're used?
Target ROAS, target CPM.
Jess?
I feel like I just need to play devil's advocate and say eCPC.
So they are target ROAS and target CPA.
Oh,
but worth knowing,
I'm trying to flip it. Yeah.
Manual CPC is on here. Enhanced CPC is not.
Oh, right.
So I feel like if enhanced was, it could be different. Yeah, I guess it's shopping campaigns, but they didn't specify. Maximize conversion value and with target ROAS and target CPA are the top two, and followed by max conversions. At the bottom are target impression share and maximize click.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I was not surprised. Then they talk about additional features and tools. I just wanted to note that auto-applied recommendations is buried at the bottom of this list.
As things people use or don't use?
Only 6% of the people surveyed use auto-applied recommendations often or always.
We're going to get to that in a minute.
Who is using them always? Who's doing anything always?
I just feel like Google would tell you that, like, so many people are using auto-applied recommendations, and this gives me faith in humanity and the marketing world as a whole.
I like seeing all that red. 6%
of people or companies out there that have the auto-applied recommendations on, find a new agency.
Mm.
Lots of people using Google Ads Editor and custom columns and scripts. So again, I feel like there are more smart marketers out there than we would believe. And then generative AI. So a year after the launch of ChatGPT, they asked people how often they use generative AI for specific PPC related activities. And again, if you're like on the internet, this kind of surprised me. The most popular was writing ads. 75% of people said that they used AI at least sometimes. But from there, nobody barely is using it for budget management, forecasting, experiments, meetings. There's a lot of people who are not adapting AI for anything other than ad writing, keyword research.
That'd be nice if I could use it for meetings. Here's AI, Greg.
That would be really nice.
It's like meeting summaries, but yeah.
I thought I could just
writing emails out. Yeah, was pretty popular. Like 25% of people use it for writing email, 23%, but... Again, I would think that was way higher. Other interesting things, they talk about agency pricing. So they talk about whether or not charging by billable hours is going to be sustainable with so much AI. Charging clients for software that you buy on their behalf. Challenges with finding talent, both for agency and in-house. And then a lot about tools, whether it's for competitive research, feed management, project management, data visualization. There's a lot of tools insights in here. So I think it really was like... a nice state of PPC. I loved reading it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a lot of stuff is a must read. This is a must read from PPC Survey. PPCsurvey.com. Go check it out. Totally free and amazing information.
They also talk about communities and events that you can use to keep up with PPC. There was something missing on there, but that's okay.
Oh, wait, what?
Marketing o'clock. Not mentioned. But then they get into top 50 most influential PPC experts. So they took this over from PPC Hero. It's been a couple years without it, so we were really happy to see them bring it back. Topping the list was Fred Valleys from Optimizer. Qasim Aslam was number two. Nava Hopkins was number three. Kirk Williams was number four. Ed Leek was number five. And then number six was our very own Greg Finn.
Get out of here. Congratulations. Really? I made the list?
Are you lying? Yes.
I made the list?
Okay, you did it now.
Those guys don't miss over there at PPC Survey.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of, like, I feel like you got slated.
Oh, I don't tweet.
No, but it takes into account like YouTube and podcast numbers. It was the only reason I'm up there.
Maybe next year.
Next year, I'm giving all your marketing clock next year. You take all of those numbers.
I don't know.
We're going to push you. We're going to push you up there.
Then I'm going to be the one falling for the April Fool's jokes.
There you go.
There are a lot of friends on the show of the list, though. So congrats to everyone who made it. Menahem was on there, Andrea, Julie, Akvila. So great list. Definitely follow all those people and definitely read this report on PPCsurvey.com.
Okay, next up in the news, I am going to beat a dead horse here with ad strength. Over on Search Engine Land, there's an article about Google explaining why ad strength is, quote, so important, end quote, as it addresses industry concerns. I love this article for many reasons, but I feel like as a community, we're still missing one main thing here. And I want to just make that be known. So in the article, Mahata Matic of Dominate Marketing made a few comments saying, if you're new to Google Ads, one thing you need to be aware of is Google's recommendations are not necessarily the best things for your account. And went on to say, I don't believe ad strength score means anything. I have ads that are performing extremely well and have a very bad ad strength score. It says poor, yet they're getting a 10 to 15% conversion rate on actual leads. If you know, ad strength takes a look at your ad formats and other things, but does not look at conversions. Because of that, I immediately disqualify AdStrength as a tool for marketers. Our job is to drive conversions. It's not to spend the most on Google. It's not to get the most possible impressions. Many times you almost don't want impressions for terms. Mm-hmm. If you can only have an investment solution for accredited investors, I want a lower click-through rate. Frederick Valley is number one on that fantastic list that Shep just referenced, said, if you're worried about poor ad strength, means your ad will serve less frequently. Rest assured that ad strength does not impact ad rank or quality score. If you're new to PPC, I apologize, thoughts and prayers, but he's correct on this. And then he goes on, in other words, if your ad strength is poor, it does not mean that Google is deprioritizing your ad in the ad auction, which I might go against. Number one on this. More in a second. This is my favorite. It's just, quote, waste of time, quote. Anthony Higman, CEO of AdSquire, says, I believe they'll soon make ad strength a factor of ad rank. Ad rank is different than ad strength, but it's different than quality score. Again, T's and P's. About 2 months ago, a rep who reached out to us said that ad strength is a factor of ad rank. Reps know nothing. Okay. So I'm going to reference Ginny Marvin, salt of the earth, the best thing PPC has. She responded to Nate Lewis and said, low ad strength could explain a lack of impressions. Now, what does that mean, Shep?
It would make me think that it matters, right?
You would think so. Nate also found that there was a warning because ad strength was poor. So, long story short, Google went through and said it is not a factor in the auction. I actually agree with that. I do not think that ad strength is a factor in the auction. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that keyword search volume is a factor in the auction? In the auction?
No.
Do you think if you have low keyword volume, you will make it to the auction?
No.
Do you think there's a chance if you have low ad strength, you will not make it into the auction, knowing that ad strength isn't a factor in the auction?
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
If you can't make it to the auction, doesn't it affect the auction?
It should. That's what you need. Like, what are we doing here? Everybody's lost their minds and trying to explain this to people, especially new people, especially clients, is impossible. That your ad strength is important, but it's not important for the auction. But if you can't get in the auction, it's ad rank in the auction, and then it's your quality score. It's like, it is absolutely ridiculous, the messaging that's coming out of this. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, it's not a factor. It's not a factor. No, it's in the auction. That's the thing. Everything that Ginny says, and I'm sure she's correct, is about in the auction. But if you don't make it to the auction, who cares? Mm-hmm. And then Nate Lewis at @NateLewis on X said, update on my ad strength post from 2 weeks ago. The campaign still has zero ad impressions. The max CPC is $12 for kitchen countertops, broad match, while the first page bid shows $2.30. I have made 31,000 changes since 320. What? Nate, how do you even do that?
That's a lot of changes.
Get some sleep, brother. But so yeah, it's not serving. And then he says, the ad strength is still poor. I can safely assume the ad rank is not good enough to show because of ad strength. I had no choice but to serve. And I think what he said is actually factually incorrect. I don't think it's an ad rank problem. I think it's an ad strength problem that is not allowing his ad rank to be used in the auction because not making it to the auction. I don't know how to communicate this better than what I just said. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay.
And I just feel sorry for myself and everyone who works in PPC.
So then Nate went through and he updated to get the ad strength to good to see if it will start serving. So follow at N8, the number Lewis on X, if you want to see this drama unfold.
We need a documentary.
I know, but everybody just listens to Google. It's like, no, that's not exactly what they're saying something, but it's not exactly what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Then people call me a conspiracy theorist and say I'm wrong on everything.
They do?
Yeah, all the time. Never wrong though. This you watch. Mark this down. Binstradamus. All right, what you got, Shep? Anything better? Hopefully, please.
No, of course. From Anthony Higman at Anthony Higman on X, he noticed a new badge showing up in Google search results on an ad. This is for a branded ad from his company, shout out AdSquire. So it was a branded search for AdSquire, and it has their ad, and there's a little label that says people also consider. Melissa Mackey asked from her at Beyond the Paid handle, is this clickable? What does it take people to? Anthony says it is not clickable. I think they're about to throw us all into our competitors' auctions, toss these labels on them. I'm thinking it's why they've been matching brands to keywords for the last 2 years. Anthony didn't use title case in that one. And it really
noticed that. That's why it was hard to read.
So that is where my brain is going with this. Is this going to be so much matching expansion and you could be on someone else's brand name and people also consider? Yeah.
I understand on organic, where you're like, hey, people come to us because we give good free listings.
Right.
Here are some other paid options. But to say that Higman is paying for an ad, and it's a pricey ad, it's a lawyer advertising, and because he pays for that, somebody clicks to get to a competitor. And this is why that tweet from Darren Shaw wasn't funny. Because this is like, this is even...
It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Right. It's like not even like 1% off. It's like 0.05% off that joke.
And is this going to be an asset, something you could opt out of?
Who would advertise
on
Google?
If
you're like, hey, we do digital marketing, we're Cypress North, and then they go and show AdSquire, I'd be like, I'm going to lose all my business to Higman.
I really don't like this.
I hate it.
Barry Schwartz also noticed a test on an ad, a label that says related to your search. I don't know if this was a branded query or competitor's name, but that's worth noting too, that label is showing up also. So they're testing some stuff. I hope if this is rolling out, it's something you'd be able to opt out of, but who knows?
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's Take of the Week isn't just one take. It's the Daily Takes. There is a new show called It's New on Search Engine Roundtable YouTube with the incredibly fast talker Barry Schwartz, Crystal and Morty, and they go through and recap all of the SEO news from the previous day. To me, it's very similar to what Danny Sullivan did with the Daily Search Cast, and he'd bring on like Barry Schwartz and other people from the industry, but it's fun. I mean, Morty and Crystal are great, and Barry is like the ultimate like straight man on that, where it's like, you know, he just... And Barry's fun. Barry is actually funny. I just hit the mic. Barry's like funny. Like, and I don't know. And Morty and Chris have great dynamics. So if you're interested in more news on a daily fashion, go check that out. It's the Search Engine Roundtable YouTube, and it's called It's New series with Barry, Crystal, and Morty from Wix and Barry from Search Engine Roundtable.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people, from PPC Greg at PPC Greg on X. He says, Igimi, 30-second non-skippable in-stream ads will be / are currently available in Google Ads. So he noticed a notification in platform that says these will be available in Google Ads in early 2024. Until then, you can contact your sales rep to add a 30-second non-skippable in-stream ad. The previous max length was 15 seconds, I believe. So my child is going to hate this. As soon as an ad comes on. Skip it. You know, it's really hard when your 3-year-old, you know, you make ads and their understanding of ads is what plays before Miss Rachel, and then Daddy makes hats. It's tough.
Yeah.
Wait, she doesn't like hats?
No, she likes hats.
Okay.
She doesn't like ads.
Hmm. Yeah.
She wants to skip them.
Daddy's girl. That's what you're shaping up to
be. It's really tough.
Also, I have a request, formal HR request. Can we use your Umsumi in the song for ICYMI?
Sure.
Amazing.
Cease and desist, PPC Grad.
Now it's time for this week's pew pew lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, another icky me. We were all officially forced into the, at least we were in our office, the new Google Ads last week. So PPC Greg tweeted, beginning of the end for the old interface. It feels like it was just yesterday that we got the current design. Hashtag TBT. And then he found an article from 2016 when there was an article in Search Engine Land called Confirmed, New AdWords Interface Rolling Out to More Users by one Greg Finn.
AdWords. I
was about to say, what loser just called it AdWords?
They grow up so fast.
It was me.
I didn't realize it had been that long.
2016. Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
8 years. Feels like just yesterday.
But I'm struggling.
I was but a wee lad back then.
Weren't we all?
Also, I'm pretty sure PPC Greg is like similar in age to me. And I don't know if he was in PPC when that article's written.
Wow. Shots fired.
He's that out much now? Younger than us?
No, I didn't work here when that article was written.
I did.
You were slinging promotional merch.
And like hot dogs.
And Rod Stewart.
Slinging dogs.
And
merch.
Don't say that. I was living in the same building as Rod's sister, city. Rod Stewart, when that was
with
written.
Rod Stewart.
We were over here complaining about an interface change that we now all miss.
Yeah. Now we're like, give me that back.
Give it back.
Wow. I miss it, man. Memories. Next up, Thomas Excel, or Excel as it is always autocorrected in our notes, has a screen recording of Google Ads where there is an eligible broad match keyword. And when he tries to switch it to phrase, it says it's ineligible due to low search volume. So that sucks. Quote, he says, I face this problem normally for very low search volume keywords, 10 average searches per month, but it might have gotten expanded to keywords with unknown search volume and below 20 average monthly searches. I can't confirm anything since there is no official documentation about it. They just want everything to be ineligible due to low search volume, so use PMax. A new study by software engineering and digital consultancy company Intellius found that brands are almost twice as likely to influence U.S. shoppers by advertising on retailer websites as opposed to marketplaces. So if you want more info on that, we will have it in the newsletter this week. And WPP, who is the parent company behind a lot of huge ad firms around the world, has a new partnership with Google to utilize Gemini AI to help produce its ads, including ad narration, voiceover script generation, product image creation, and more.
Wait, Shep. News coming in.
Oh.
All ad agencies not named WPP are celebrating.
Because they're going to be bad ads.
Have you ever used Gemini's image creation?
I have not had the pleasure.
The worst AI ever. It is so, it was, remember we did the Buffalo Bills example.
Oh, yeah.
That was, yeah.
I still try to use it. It's so terrible.
Well.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're using WPP, find a new firm.
And I feel bad for the voiceover actors. They need work.
Yeah.
Next up, Google is testing a sticky sponsored label in the Google search results. This is from Barry Schwartz from Search Engine Roundtable. So as you scroll down the search results and scroll past various Google ads, the sponsored labels disappear eventually as you get to the organic or free listings, but it sticks there. So my guess is that I feel like they're trying to get rid of the multiple labels so you think less things are ads. That's what it looks like to me.
At least it sticks. That's good. I mean, it's helpful to know that.
Yeah.
Like, once you scroll down, this is still an ad.
But is there going to be a second sponsored label next to second ad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like I might think that's organic. And Dario Zanoni spotted a PMax update for campaigns with Merchant Center feeds and have purchases as a goal. This is called the retention goal. It's currently in beta, but there's documentation about it in the Help Center already. And it says it's, quote, designed to drive customer loyalty and high lifetime value within your business. The goal will offer multiple modes within Performance Max campaigns, allowing you to target specific segments of existing customers. And the first mode that they're launching is the win back mode, designed to help you win back inactive or lapsed customers and reactivate their interest in your business. So you have to have a new customer acquisition goal to use this, and you have to use your own customer match list with those lapsed customers in it. But it sounds like a neat new feature to test if you're eligible. And there was a new warning in Google Ads spotted this week. It is for the search location doesn't match this campaign's location targeting settings, which I don't know if that's a sentence. But from reading the tweet, it sounds like this person was bidding on a query with the word Pittsburgh. And Google Ads was trying to say they weren't targeting Pittsburgh, but they were targeting Pittsburgh.
But even if you're not, if you're searching for stuff about Pittsburgh, who cares if you're in Pittsburgh? Either way.
Yeah. Maybe you want like a separate campaign.
Maybe like
one for in Pittsburgh, one for out.
They know that you might live in a house that has like a Pittsburgh toilet.
Which,
that's does anybody that don't know, live that's in a house deep cut. That has a Pittsburgh toilet?
I have a Pittsburgh toilet.
You do? Can you explain?
My real estate agent told me that it's when you have a toilet in the basement with there's no sink or anything.
No,
it's
just sink.
No walls either, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
No walls.
I don't know. I haven't been in my basement in 2 years, so I don't know if it's still there.
Well, don't search for it.
I love that you have a Pittsburgh toilet. It makes me so happy.
Do you think Pittsburgh is upset?
No, I think they're happy.
Did they invent this? Why is it called that?
It's just
I think it's something to do with the hills and people enter through the basement there more. I don't know.
That's fine, but
I don't basement, okay? Yeah. I don't basement.
Do you toilet?
My mom was trying to go down to my basement a couple weeks ago. No, I don't toilet. And my 3-year-old goes, oh, grandma, ladies do not go in the basement.
Wow.
I'm just going to go back and revisit that ad strength story I talked about. Because in the story, I just want to give you a little context here. There was everything I talked about from Higman and some of the other advertisers, but there was also a Googler who chimed in. And this was Brendan Crom, Google's vice president of search and commerce. And he said, I don't know where the ad strength is not important idea comes from. Ad strength is at the center of what we're trying to do because creative is going to be incredibly important. And ad strength is going to be a mechanism which we use to evaluate that both in Performance Max and channels like search. Then went on to say, the advertisers need to market to the speed of customers to ensure that they serve the right ads at the right time, to the right users at the right time. But many advertisers, large and small, struggle to deliver the breadth and depth of assets needed. If you leverage PMax's generative capabilities, it really does give advertisers the ability to put the right ads in front of the right user at the right time. That's him. It can really deliver on the promise of what marketing has been trying to do for quite some time. What is the main takeaway there? The generative experience from PMax is so important. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then goes on to say automation is the future. And PMax is the best example of AI in ads because it's the only campaign type that runs across inventory using AI, both predictive and generative. Okay. On to organic. There is a new Merchant Center product data specification update. And from Glenn Gabe, he says, introducing the new product data specification attributes for AI-generated content in shopping ads and free listings. We're adding new attributes that will require merchants to disclose text content that was created using generative AI. Have you ever seen a Performance Max ad that said it used generative AI?
No.
He is touting generative AI in ads and saying you can't use generative AI in your Merchant Center data or you have to disclose it. What world are we living in?
It makes no sense.
what world are we living in? You're going to force people to say it in their merchant center, but you get the ability not only to use generative AI and predictive AI like we heard, but to tout it as the future and without being disclosed. That is why, that's why more people distrust you than that is an incredible, you're out there on search engine land touting the fact that this is the future. And then you're saying, oh, it's not the future for you, or you have to disclose it, but we can do whatever we want. How crazy is that?
Mm, really bizarre.
Crazy. We talked about it last week where Google was pulling in for the term weight loss, with one of the top results being, I think it was the second result, but Google won't call it the second result. They'll call it a forum panel or whatever, about a weight loss drug. Danny Sullivan, after we recorded the show, responded. So I'd like to put that out there. He says, I did understand the point and concern. I didn't say because all users seem to like something, we'll show it regardless of relevancy. And Danny went on to his credit saying, we want to ensure that any content we show in the results, including forum content, is relevant and useful. And then this is the thing, Danny is the man. He says, with the example you put out again, I appreciate the concern that, about surfacing forum content so highly in relation to medical queries, and I pass along that feedback as I've done with previous issues. Danny does get take care of things, so that's amazing.
Great.
So thank you, Danny. And just another quick check from Lily Ray. Obviously, Danny's not instant, but I thought this was funny. Lily Ray tweeted at Lily Ray NYC on X, said, advice from page one of Google. I guess technically giant robot T-Rex isn't wrong, and it's a Reddit query that says, what's the quickest way to lose 10 pounds in a week? To which giant robot T-Rex said, cut off an arm.
Give birth.
Okay, so it's still there in the weight loss side of things. It's also still there in the legal side of things. From Joy Hawkins, at Joanne Hawkins on X, says, great to know that Reddit Cure and a 3-year-old Avo thread are better results than this legal query from the American Bar Association. Makes it even better that the top answer on one of the Reddit threads is from someone with an 18 plus profile. Some answers so gross, I won't post them on here. And it says, can your spouse video record you without permission? Legal advice. And guess what? It's Cura, Cura, Avo, Cura, Reddit, another site than American Bar Association.
Why are they doing this?
Wow. And Reddit is incorrect. Or Reddit is correct. Cura is incorrect. But also there's bad stuff on Reddit. So it's in weight loss. It's in legal. Thankfully, it's not in medical. Oh, wait. From at Lily Ray NYC on X, she says, not safe for work. Sorry. Guess who ranks higher for yeast infection?
Oh, no.
Is it Cura or Cleveland Clinic?
Oh, no.
Give me your answers.
No.
Well, it's got to be Cura, but it shouldn't be.
Okay. Chop, your answer?
I shudder at the thought. It must be Cura.
Not only that, the number one Cura answer is, and I'm going to quote with minor redactions here. This is the top answer. Girl, F those doctors. Obviously, all caps, they're going to tell you to use medicine. And yes, before you try anything, you should use the regular medicines there are to treat yeast infection, but we don't have all the time or resources to get them. I used apple cider vinegar. No! So
people think apple cider vinegar cures everything. Everyone's answer
everything,
but I've never heard this one.
Cancer. Boom. ACV.
I just love it. It starts with girl. Yeah. Well, that's how you know you're getting good advice.
So anyway, still maybe a problem with the forums and discussions. But I actually, Danny's on it. Danny will fix it.
Okay.
Mark my words.
He's just going to pour some ACV on it.
Yeah. It's salt. Toss a little ACV on the results. Okay. And I'm just going to read the title in the first three paragraphs news. Google releases ImageGen 2, a video clip generator. Google doesn't have the best, this is from TechCrunch. Google doesn't have the best track record when it comes to image generating AI. In February, the image generator built into Gemini, Google's AI-powered chatbot, was found to be randomly injecting gender and racial diversity into prompts about people, resulting in images of racially diverse Nazis, among other offensive inaccuracies. Google pulled the generator, vowing to improve it and eventually re-release it. As we await its return, the company's launching an enhanced image generating tool, ImageGen 2, inside its Vertex AI developer platform.
I heard the story on NPR. Like,
what a, like, what an announcement. Have you ever heard a worse product announcement than that? I've never read a worse product announcement. That was like the announcement about their new product. That's crazy.
Congratulations.
Wow. No. So what you heard on NPR?
Yeah. Before they re-released it, I heard they were taking it down for that reason. Just, they got a lot to figure out over there.
Sure do.
Okay. From Glenn Gabe, he says, it can hear. Google Gemini's 1.5 Pro can now process audio without needing a transcript. So it can listen to uploaded files and churn out information from things like earning calls or audio from videos without the need to refer to a written transcript. More like Geminier. Stupid. Thank you. Okay. From Barry Schwartz, I liked his tweet. He quote tweeted something from Tech Meme that says, YouTube CEO says OpenAI training Sora uses videos would be a violation of YouTube's terms of service. So YouTube saying Sora, the video AI, can't use YouTube. And so Barry says, Google to publishers, we can use your content to train our search engines and AI. Google to OpenAI, you cannot use YouTube to train your AI. Again, it's like, you can't use AI stuff for your merchant center, but we just laud the ability to use AI in Performance Max and not tell anybody about it. We had a company that sells certain types of cards, C-A-R-D-S, and it found that and tried to put in AI-generated text about automobiles.
Oh, no.
There, you should apply things you make people do for themselves to yourself, Google. And also, like, Googlers listen to this show, which is crazy.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything about it.
I got stuff from our mistake last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. From Glenn Gabe, it looks like Google is testing tabs in SGE results. Makes sense for certain queries, but this one is for refrigerators. And Barry has a post over on Search Engine Roundtable where you can see something like the overview, the design, the features, and the capacity. I wonder how much that one's going to cost. Do you have to pay extra for tabs if you buy SGE?
It's like an add-on.
Okay, this is actually really cool. Google Image Search has pixel level segmentation of objects in the foreground as you swipe from one image to the next. This is over on Search Engine Roundtable. And Rahan Patel said that we made Google Image Search a little more delightful. Pixel level segmentation of objects in the foreground as you swipe from one image to the next. So you can find like a bench that's in the forefront and then click on that bench and try to get to like just that specific item in the image. I actually really love that. Okay, Google is announcing from, by way of Glenn Gabe, the grounding effort is part of a slew of announcements at its two-day Google Cloud Next conference, where Google says that by integrating Google Search into Vertex, its AI offering for businesses, it can give users access to more recent information and citations indicating the sources for key data. So essentially, you can take your AI, put it through to Google Search to get better information. My thought process is you take your information, you put it through to ground to Google Search, and it just comes back with Reddit. Reddit. Cure. Reddit. Perplexity citations overlap with a 60% rate with the top 10 Google organic results. Perplexity, we've talked about this before. I have still not used it. I just don't care. But it's growing 40% month over month, and it's very similar to a 60% ratio to Google. Bing is testing removing the cache link from its search results, according to Search Engine Roundtable. This is something Google tested for months prior to officially dropping the cache link from its search results. I liked it because you could see kind of what the old version of the site looked like. But unfortunately, this is true. No cache. All right. And you can now import offline Salesforce data into GA4. There's a document about how you can find your users, how you can configure Salesforce and pull it into GA4. That's awesome. And please, dear God, no news. Google is considering a HubSpot acquisition.
Oh, no.
Dear God, no.
Oh, dear
That's
God,
the name
no.
of it.
Yeah,
please. There also were some implications of a potential antitrust stuff. So we'll see how that goes. So but that's another one. In what not to do news from Glenn Gabe, he says, oh boy, Forbes ran an alternate version of its website for years with reformatted articles promoted on Taboola and others to maximize ads intended for Forbes.com. One 700-word article was turned into a 34-slide slideshow exposing the person who read it on the computer to about 150 ads instead of around 7 for someone who read the original piece. And that's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Checking in on Google News, just go follow Glenn Gabe. He has 600 sites documented with a ton of movement over this core update. It is a big one, and he ran through 371 sites heavily impacted by September that had none of bounced back. And then he also had some parasite SEO information. So go check out Glenn Gabe if you want more information on this core update. And I'm just going to end that there. Jess, what's happening in social?
A whole lot of scrolling. Okay, first up, LinkedIn's most effective posting strategies have been unveiled by a new study. And thank you, Nicola from Search Engine Land, for summarizing the study for us, because we don't want to read it, but you might. I did find some of the takeaways to be kind of interesting for LinkedIn. So opt for multi-image posts. We were just having a conversation with a client today about how carousels were working really well for them organically, but not necessarily in our ads. So pay attention to things like that. Prioritize video content, interact with your audience via polls. Basically, people like different types of content and you should try them all and see what works for you. But you can read more if you are a social media manager, and you should. Facebook is launching a new full screen video player. So it looks a lot like TikTok. I don't know. This is great for TikTokers that are trying to go after their grandmothers and their audience's grandmas. But there are, with this new player, some enhanced features too, like improved recommendations for videos of all lengths, new controls for users on how they watch the videos, and the ability to easily skip to the part that you're most interested in. So there will be a slider in there. That's how a video player should work. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to go full screen to have that, but whatever. We talked about Shrimp Jesus a while back and how AI-generated images have been getting a ton of engagement on Facebook. The platform doesn't want to remove this content, though, even though there's a lot of weirdness out there, but it is updating their policy about AI-generated content. Apparently, it was a little bit updated. It was written back when, like, deepfakes were really the only thing that you did with AI and tried to make people... real people look like they did things that they didn't.
Yeah,
so
many fake Taylor Swift things. Yeah,
well, they shouldn't be doing that.
A picture of her in high school with bangs, like, please.
She would never have bangs.
She didn't get bangs until 1989 era.
I saw a story that she wrote a song about an ex-boyfriend.
Shocking.
How unreal.
Crazy.
It should have been labeled as AI generated.
We need to stop this AI.
You know, we've got like a week until the new album comes out, so you better be prepared.
Also, what is the new album?
Did you really?
Did you? Are you?
There's other things.
Did you go to like Media Play or Sam Goody to get like the record? What do you do? Why do you take the day off?
Taylor Swift. She's gonna be up all night listening to it nonstop. She's gonna be sitting.
Oh, she's gonna release it at 1 a.m.
She's gonna be sitting there listening to it first time and be like, this is okay. And then she's be listening a second time, and be like, oh, I really dig this one. And then she's be listening again, and be like, it all makes sense. It's gonna be like the like all the numbers converging on Zach Galifianakis.
Well, it happened with Cowboy Carter. I stayed up until like 2 a.m. listening when it was released. Jess Budd just made a face.
I don't know what that
indicating
is.
Indicating that she does not know what Cowboy Carter
Cowboy
is.
Cowboy Carter?
And I'm going to lose my mind.
Jess.
Is it like a kid's guy?
It's Beyonce's new album.
Oh, I knew she was doing country. I don't like it.
It's not a country album. It's a Beyonce album.
Shep, you might like this new one for album drops. So Instagram is adding a new notify sticker for creators, which sounds kind of stupid because it's a sticker, but it's not. If you put it in your story, users can click on it and it like essentially says, please like sign up for notifications if I post something, or for stories, reels, live videos, all of that. So if you have like big news coming or something you want to share with folks to remind them to check back, it's a good idea. Here is a tweet from @AdamSinger. He says, massive L by Medium. Who are they to tell their creators what to do? I do not use AI to generate my posts anywhere, but would not wish to be on a platform that was prescriptive about what their users do. Basically, Medium, it's a screenshot of an announcement from Medium that says that they're updating their policy and there will be absolutely no AI generated writing allowed, essentially. Some people just want the content labeled. Some people do it themselves. Some people don't allow it at all. So Elon Musk posted on X that traffic on X had reached an all-time high and shared a chart.
That chart looks really fake.
It does look fake. But it has a little It almost looks like a watermark, but it says worldwide desktop down here. So Social Media Today dug into this a little bit. The chart is from SEMrush. So therefore, it does not include app usage. This is just web traffic, so which accounts for a very small percentage of usage of Twitter X. Most of that, I think like 80% is in the app. So this doesn't even account for this. So that's one thing. It's a misleading chart. But the interesting thing that I took away from this article, just listen up if you use the tool. There's that spike. It looks like a middle finger in January of 2018, right? And Andrew Hutchinson actually reached out to a representative from SEMrush to ask about it. The platform rep said, upon reviewing the report, there appears to have been a misunderstanding about organic traffic values. The spike observed in the data corresponds with an update we implemented that was executed on April 6th and resulted in additional data being incorporated into our metrics. And they go on to say more, so you can read that in an article. But it's just interesting from a tool standpoint that take everything with a grain of salt, right? If you're looking at reporting and see a spike like that, it could be an actual traffic spike. It could be updates in reporting. Just an interesting nugget and good reminder. Last up, also from Social Media Today, X is still working through its rebranding efforts, and no heck. But the latest is that according to a report from Mashable, X is taking steps. If you type in, if you compose a tweet or a post on the platform that says twitter.com, it will update that to read as x.com. It does not actually update the link. It will still go to wherever the original URL was intended to go, but it displays as x.com instead of, like, it replaces Twitter with X if there's a .com after it. So if you were to post something like netflitwitter.com, it would display as netflix.com. So you could see how you could be really misleading. Send people to different places.
Yeah.
Bad idea. But also, x.com still redirects to twitter.com. Still, I checked it this morning as I was doing this. And X calls itself Twitter in its help documentation. So Twitter is to AdWords what X is to Google Ads. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Everything is absolutely fine in the universe.
I was trying to put a picture of Fred Durst with bangs into your prep notes. I couldn't do it. So you have to go to the Marketing Clack Slack channel. And you can see a picture of Fred Durst, a real life picture of Fred Durst with bangs.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
I feel like March and April are really tough with B2B because everyone has different spring break time and the holidays are moving around every year. And it's so hard to like predict performance and compare year over year. And it's just a very frustrating couple
like
weeks.
When people are going to be in the office trying to like purchase B2B products, or if there's like a Taylor Swift album dropping.
You never know.
Never.
Just taking days off.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, I've been gone for 9 days. I've been hardly working. I have absolutely nothing to share. I've been in meetings since I got back today. So
welcome.
Hardly working. Just Brad.
And I'll say working hard. I had whined about how Gemini doesn't do great with images. So that was like the joke with WPP using all this garbage AI. I actually think Midjourney is amazing. And if you're not using Midjourney for your AI images, I've been taking over for some things from Tables while he's out. And it's just absolutely awesome. And then I now have it on my phone for my Discord. And I have to like switch back and forth, Ray Allen style, between this and the my like Marketing Clack Discord. And so I make stuff for my kids. And it's like, they're like, make a picture of a corgi having a cookie with a capybara. And I'm like, okay, here you go. And like, it's, they enjoy it too.
That's
but
fun.
Midjourney is the best if you need images done.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool. This week's cool tool is something you should know if you're an e-commerce babe from BFF of the show, Glenn Gabe.
That was a stretch.
Real.
I thought it was good.
You're rusty.
I'm very rusty. I got 4 hours of sleep last night. Okay.
You must have been staring at that eclipse so hard, your retinas.
They're broken. And therefore I cannot think or write or speak. So I'm just going to let Glenn Gabe, at Glenn Gabe, if you didn't know, speak for himself. He posted on X, run an e-commerce site and looking to export all of your merchant listings data? Check out my latest post, how to bulk export merchant listings data from Google Search Console via Analytics Edge in Excel. Don't settle for the 1,000 row limit in GSC. In this tutorial, I will explain how to get all of your merchant listings data from GSC while covering some other ideas for working with the data via Analytics Edge. So not only how to bulk export your merchant listings data from Google Search Console, but some thoughts on how to do with it, on what to do with it, and bonus points for a report on how finding out how or whether a major algorithm update has impacted visibility in the SERPs. So pretty cool, pretty amazing. Thank you, Glenn. As always, we will have a link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingclock.com respectively. So pick your poison, give me some of it, and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the one, the only Sarah Steeman over on Search Engine Land. She has an article called Negative Keywords in Paid Search, Six Strategies for Effective Implementation, and talks about how you can have hands-off versus aggressive approaches, talks about why they matter, how you can save money by not showing on certain keywords, which is sort of obvious, but then gets into brand protection, sculpting of traffic, not showing for relevant keywords, establishing thresholds, and a ton more. A great example if you are new to negative keywords or if you're old to negative keywords. If you're an old folk like myself, I can still learn a trick or two from this amazing article. Thank you, Sarah. Go check it out over on searchengineland.com or newsletter.marketingclock.com or community.marketingclock.com. Pick your poison. Give a little adjust. Check it out.
And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find at playlist.marketingclock.com. I am putting on The Architect by Kacey Musgraves.
Ooh.
Jess, what will you be adding?
I like her. I'm going with a similar tune, Gone Away by The Offspring.
That is actually not shocking at all. I'm going to go with UFO by Mallrat.
What kind of a name is that?
Unidentified flying object. Not everybody knows
Mallrat.
That.
One of the greatest films of all time.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It's now officially not Marketing Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
We can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
shoot the heck.
And today we are playing everyone's favorite game. We are going to list little things that annoy us. Is that a game?
Yeah, it's not like a full-on pet peeve, but just something that shouldn't be so daunting to you. Mm. It's a small little thing, but you just hate doing it.
And Greg's going to go first because it's his idea.
Okay. I've got one thing that is the absolute death of me. And I know there's no reason for this, but I want to turn around and walk out every single time I go to the gym and I pull my gym shoes out of the bag and they're tied. I don't know why that's such a big deal.
Whoa.
But if they're tied, I'm like, oh my God, I just want them to be untied.
But when you take them off,
you don't want to untie them.
Like
what? Sometimes you're like at a gross gym and like there's... gym locker rooms at some gyms are like there's nothing like an old man likes more than being nude.
Yeah, so you want to get out.
Trying to get out of there, and there's I'm just not into that scene. So sometimes you take stuff off really quick, and if you don't like fully untie your shoes and you just pop them off trying to get out of there, you know, from all the floppage and things happening, like you can leave your shoes tied, and then when you take them out again. I don't know why. I'm going to go do something way harder than untying my shoes, but it's like the worst feeling in the world.
I don't gym, but anytime my shoes are already tied when I put them on, I try to like shove my foot in with my shoes tied.
I was just writing that down.
Harder than just untying it.
But you will do it.
Yeah.
You will continue to shove and shove and shove. Same.
Okay. What's your next one, Jess? Or your first?
Taking that off the list.
I don't know if that counts. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm glad we're all aligned. I just cannot, and I do not care what other people do or what their hands look like, but if I have the tiniest little chip in my nail polish, I will die. I cannot stand it. I cannot live.
Let me see.
So Same.
No chips.
That's why
no
I don't chips. Paint my nails, because yeah. I can't.
That's why I started going with the dip, because they don't chip. But when I used to do them myself, it was like every day.
That's
every
not
night.
Toe polish? That's just, something else?
Toe polish is a fingernail polish. Yeah. Okay. But it's like, these are my natural nails, but it's the gel, or not the gel, the dip.
My daughter got it once, called it toe polish.
On her hands?
No, I think she got her feet done once.
Well, then it's toe polish, sure.
Okay.
Polish on your toes. Anyway, no chipping.
Julia, you're next.
My first one is when you're driving and someone leaves their blinker on.
Yeah. I feel like I am that person.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very you thing. You're just like racking out. You're like, I'm the first person. Everybody's listening to me sing. You can't hear the blinker noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that one.
That's good, though.
Okay, something that really bothers me is the popularity of family-sized or jumbo-sized cereal boxes that do not fit in anyone's pantry.
Okay, fair, yeah.
Especially when your house was built in 1925, it really drives me insane. And then there's boxes that you can't even find available in the normal size anymore, Frosted Flakes. And then you have all the bags in there and they're like flopping over on each other and I don't have chip clips. I hate it.
You know what I do, Shep? I just overload my pantry and don't clean it and have to put my cereal boxes in horizontally anyway, on top of other things. And then it doesn't matter what size it is.
I never thought about doing it. But then don't they spill out the top?
No, you close the flaps and you tightly wind them. Like my mega size Fruity Pebbles, right there. Fine. No spillage.
You're such a dishwasher, like savant. I'm so surprised you don't organize your pantry.
I don't give a heck what my pantry looks like. It's behind a closed door. It's fine.
Okay, we'll do one more here. And for me, my next one is in the morning. I dread making coffee. I hate making coffee in the morning. I can do it at night and pre-make it, and it's a totally different experience. Mm. I don't know why. But when I'm tired, like, don't want to think about coffee. So, like, if I want to make coffee, I'm best doing it ahead of time. And then that seems, like, ridiculous. Like, that seems like more work to really, pre-make the coffee, but I feel... like when I'm tired, it's the last thing I want to do is sit there and wait, do the stuff. I just want coffee.
That's I get fair. That.
Yeah. I get that. So I didn't think that this was things about ourselves necessarily. So I'm going Julia's route and I'm going to talk about other people for a second. If someone else's ringtone goes off in public and it's a tone that I have selected as one of my alarms, I just have this like visceral reaction that just makes me angry. And I'm like mad at the person for choosing that as their ringtone because it's what wakes me up in the morning. It reminds me to do things.
What is the tone?
And it's not their fault. I have a couple different ones that I use.
Why don't you just get a brand? You should get the Crazy Frog.
As an alarm?
Uses that
yeah, it'd be beautiful.
There's a duck alarm we've used in my household. The ducks are so annoying to wake you up and the crickets too. But the their phones will ring just during the day. And it's like what I used to have to remind myself to do breastfeeding. And it like takes you back. And it's just like startling. I can't stand it. People should always have their phones on silent.
Julia, what's your next one?
My next one also has to do with driving. When people have their windshield wipers going faster than the rain.
On other cars?
Yeah. Or if like I'm in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I have to close my eyes.
It's like it's not this dramatic. You know? Like you don't need to go that hard. It's a sprinkle.
Yeah. It makes me sick. I can't.
That's a great one.
That is really good. Julia.
I would never notice.
Julia, I was just behind my brother in traffic for an extended period of time, like maybe 10, 15 minutes the other day, and it was not raining, and his back wiper was just going the whole time. And he apparently had no idea because I called him out for it. We pulled in. He's like, I didn't turn that on. It's like, well, you didn't turn it off. You would have loved it.
I feel like all of mine are weird and I am other people's. The other one that came to mind was I get really uncomfortable when like joints touch joints.
What do you mean?
I don't like when my knees touch.
Oh, your knees.
I don't like when my ankles touch and I don't like when someone's sitting next to me on the couch and like their elbow touches my elbow. It really upsets me.
What about wrists?
Why? Is it
no,
is it
I don't like it.
Because really? Of the sharpness?
I can't explain it. I feel like there's like an
angle.
Energy.
It's like the angle. Like you like it's an angular thing.
Is it so like bone on bone? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Huh. It's bone on bone.
I don't like feel. I think it's the bone on bone because there's like no skin there.
There's no padding.
There's no padding on either end. Mm. I really don't like it.
Interesting. Mm. And it like gives you like that like.
Yeah.
Huh.
What, and if you do it to yourself, is it the same
thing? Yeah. I get really upset about my knees.
That was bad?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I mean, I haven't seen her do that often. Most people don't just put their elbows together.
She does the first thing
I notice it mostly with my ankles. clashing.
Oh, what if it's like ankle to elbow or something like that?
I don't like any of it.
Mm, okay. Mm. Just bone on bone.
Okay, that's what it is.
Mm. That was a weird one.
That was men's weird. Locker room too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't ever want to go in a men's locker room. Okay, well, that was fun. We'll be back next week with more things we hate. We'll see you then. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.